Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's get right to the big news of the day. The U.S. Supreme Court today struck down Massachusetts' so-called buffer zone law, the 2007 state law that keeps protesters at least 35 feet from the entrances to abortion clinics.
The justices ruled unanimously that the law violates constitutionally guaranteed free speech rights because buffer zones often extend to public roads and sidewalks. In writing for the court, Chief Justice John Roberts said the Commonwealth has taken the extreme step of closing a substantial portion of traditional public forum to all speakers. The Commonwealth may not do that consistent with the First Amendment.
Cyril Shea is one of the plaintiffs in the case. He celebrated the ruling.
We have a peaceful protest. We don't block people and we don't get in their way. But the buffer zone is an obstacle to us. And the Supreme Court, in its wisdom, has reinforced our right to free speech, and we're elated.
Abortion rights advocates, on the other hand, condemned the court's decision. Marty Walls is CEO of the Planned Parenthood League of Massachusetts. She's a former state legislator who was one of the lead sponsors of the buffer zone law back in 2007. Today, Walls said she fears that the court's decision paves the way for the kind of intense confrontations she once experienced with protesters in front of abortion clinics.
One of them was literally inches away from my face on the sidewalk right by the front door of the health center, screaming as loud as he could, and he was much larger than I am, and it was, to say the least, frightening. And that is what is of such concern to us now going forward, is that the court is essentially saying that kind of behavior may be permissible.
Let's get two more views on this major case. Joining us first is Dana Cody, Executive Director of the Life Legal Defense Foundation. Dana, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
So you've been working on this case for some time. You have a unanimous decision by the justices in your favor. What's your response?
Well, my response is that this is fantastic because there has been no, one of the things that the court brought out is there's been no history of unlawful or inappropriate behavior at the clinics in Massachusetts since the 90s. And I think that the court is starting to see through what the real motivation is for this type of ordinance, and that's to silence an opposing viewpoint. I mean, for goodness sakes, we live in the United States of America. You can be on the public sidewalk and peacefully engage somebody in a conversation about this issue. Typically, the sidewalk counselors are people that have gone through this, and they want to protect women from what they've gone through in their own personal life. And I just feel like it's very degrading to women. For example, that lady that was just speaking, saying, "Oh, it was frightening to say the least." It's like, you know what? Get over it. You're a woman.
Well, that lady
stand up for yourself.
Sure. That lady that we play the tape from is the CEO of the Planned Parenthood League of Massachusetts. And as we said, one of the sponsors of what the law was, or the law before it got struck down today.
Course.
But let me ask you, as I read the ruling, Chief Justice John Roberts basically wrote a very narrow ruling, saying it's this particular 35-foot zone, the fixed zone, that the court found unconstitutional. He left the door open for the state to come up with other laws as well. I mean, does that leave you room to worry, or do you still think that that what the court has done is opened the door for advocates and protesters, whatever you want to call them, to interact with people going in and out of the clinic in a free and open manner?
No, I think it leaves the door open because it's basically saying that unless there has been some history of wrongful behavior, the state needs to find the least restrictive means to protect speech.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, they didn't overrule Hill versus Colorado, but our friend of the court brief, we brought out the point that we had a pastor who was out holding a sign, who was being harassed, who was being blocked, and he spent time in jail because of this type of ordinance. So I think when the right case comes along, the court will see through that as well.
Right.
It's about free speech. If Planned Parenthood truly wants choice, then let's have choice on the public sidewalk. Mm. They can extol their viewpoint once the woman goes into the clinic, mm. if that's what they want to do.
Let me ask you, what would you say to people who saw today's ruling and share the concern that we heard a little earlier that perhaps there may be more confrontations in Massachusetts now as a result of today's court ruling?
Well, I would strongly disagree with that, because I've been defending the free speech rights of pro-life advocates since 1997, and we actually had a reporter come out to Pastor Hoy's, the location where he was at in Oakland, California, and she stood there and went, "This is it? This is the big deal?" So I would challenge people that think there's extreme confrontation going on to go out and actually watch what goes on. Mm-hmm. For example, if the 35-foot buffer zone had been upheld as constitutional, what would that mean to those people that want to talk to women going in? That would mean they'd have to yell, they'd have to scream, they'd have to try to get to them before they were in the 35-foot zone. And that actually creates a higher noise level and more confrontation. And, you know, I've seen abortion clinic escorts with lawn blowers turning up the music to a high volume so that the message, the pro-life message, can't be heard. So I think it's time to say enough is enough. There's been no history of violence with respect to McCullen. Get over it. Law enforcement has other options. If there is truly something inappropriate going on, law enforcement can handle it. And in fact, law enforcement in the McCullen case, he said there were a minimal number of arrests. Mm. So this is much ado about nothing.
Yeah. And I'm truly sorry to jump in on you, but before I run out of time with you, I did want to just throw another question to you briefly. The court's ruling was again narrowly specified to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, but do you think that this opens the door to further challenge to other buffer zone laws as they exist in other states? And will you pick up a challenge in those other states?
I think absolutely it opens the door. It's, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court. It's the law of the land, and it can be cited for its precedential value and as persuasive authority. Mm. And so, yes, I think it opens up the door. And I think, I believe there was just another ordinance, I want to say Texas, I could have my state wrong, that was overturned by their court. There's a ordinance that I think the city of San Francisco has been waiting on. They've been waiting on McCullen. And yes, absolutely, we would challenge if we had the opportunity, because, again, at the heart of our nation is free speech. Open, wide open, robust debate is what the court says. And Justice Scalia, in his concurring opinion, states it exactly right. He's been saying this for years. There's one set of rules for everybody else and another set of rules for people that oppose abortion. And had him, Kennedy, and Thomas had two more votes, they would have overturned Hill. Because to say that Hill is not content-based defies common sense.
Right. And Hill is the 2000 ruling that the court ruled essentially in the other way, but a different kind of buffer zone. Dana Cody, Executive
Correct.
Director of the Life Legal Defense Fund, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Sure. Thanks for having me back.
Let's turn to Martha Davis now. She's a professor of law at Northeastern University, joining us today from Wichita, Kansas. Martha, welcome back to you. And let me first get your quick response to the ruling overall. Were you surprised that there was a unanimous 9-justice ruling striking down the Massachusetts law?
Well, I mean, these days it's always surprising when the court is unanimous. So I was surprised it was unanimous. There is, and disappointed at the way it came out. There are some silver linings or more positive aspects to this opinion. You were talking earlier about whether it leaves the door open, and it certainly does. In particular, because the majority found that this a law that's targeted at protecting people entering abortion clinics is not content-based, and that means that that kind of law isn't subject to a heightened level of scrutiny. And the way in which the court found that this law failed was with regard to whether or not it was sufficiently narrowly tailored. And that's a matter of tweaking or a matter of trial and error to come up with a buffer zone or a zone of some kind or protective legislation that's going to work, but it doesn't eliminate the possibility completely of having that kind of law. So I think there are some ways in which this, definitely some ways in which this leaves the door open to Massachusetts and to other states to continue to try to find the right balance in protecting people who are entering clinics, who are entering clinics in order to have a medical procedure, and so don't want to be harassed, don't want to have people yelling at them, mm-hmm. or even confronting them, you know, as
right.
they enter, need to have some peace of mind as they enter, so that they can undergo this medical procedure. So I think that it leaves the door open for
let me look
for that balance.
Yeah, let me ask you a little bit more about that, because as you heard Dana Cody reference, she referenced Hill. That's Hill versus Colorado, which was a year 2000 case that the court looked at, that basically it had that the state of Colorado basically has buffer zones that are 100 feet in radius, and people can walk freely within those 100 feet, but they cannot approach someone closer than 8 feet while they're in that zone. And the court upheld that Colorado buffer zone. And today, regarding what Massachusetts could do as a state moving forward, we have some tape from Governor Deval Patrick, who said that the legislature is going to work to find a new set of rules regarding protecting access to clinics in the state of Massachusetts.
Well, I think the legislature shares the concern about how to strike a balance between the ability of women to exercise their constitutional rights and the ability of objectors to exercise theirs. And we thought that the previous bill did that. The Supreme Court obviously disagreed. They said there is a different kind of balance to strike, and we're going to try to do it before the session ends.
The session does end pretty quickly, though. Martha Davis, let me ask you, the Colorado law is one example. Do you have another idea or two that the legislature could potentially take up?
Well, I think you're right. The Colorado law is one example. We know that at least four justices would like to overrule the ruling in Hill, so that may be a high-risk example. The decision itself talked about some approaches through criminal law, which, of course, are a different kind of approach entirely, but Massachusetts doesn't have a state-level Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which does exist in the federal level. That would give state prosecutors more opportunities to prosecute folks that are obstructing clinic entrances. And I'll just say, as an aside, the court's endorsement of the FACE law was itself a silver lining, because that issue has never reached the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has never ruled on the constitutionality of that law, and lots of folks on the other side have wanted to have that law struck down. Instead, the Supreme Court effectively endorsed it today.
Martha Davis, briefly, if you could, I am curious about whether or not you agree or what your thoughts are on the response from abortion rights advocates. You know, I'm seeing that the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice in Massachusetts, it says, today's ruling marks a, quote, giant step back in protecting women.
Well, I am concerned. You know, I felt that there was a strong record here in Massachusetts. And one of the things that Deval Patrick's statement points out is it's really a state's rights issue as well. I mean, the state legislature here looked at the record here, weighed the options, weighed the needs, and came up with legislation they thought would address the needs in Massachusetts. And here we've got the Supreme Court, striking it down without allowing Massachusetts to make its own judgments about what's appropriate here.
Martha Davis, professor of law at Northeastern University, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, what happened to the idea that higher education is not only an American privilege, but a right? The director of the new film, Ivory Tower, is with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.